message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you join us today, and we trust that our time together will be a real blessing and help to you as we look again into the Word of God. And we're going to consider once again today Romans chapter number 5. Now, we've been in this passage for several weeks, and we've got several more weeks to go. But we're going down it through it kind of slowly because it encapsulizes much of what's been taught to us already. And he begins to make a transition in Romans 5 between the doctrine of justification by grace through faith plus nothing, the doctrine of what God has accomplished in Christ at Calvary in making us righteous. And he's laying the foundation for how that issue is going to transform our lives in time on planet Earth. The book of Romans deals with how God has equipped us as members of the body of Christ to live as members of the body of Christ in time on Earth in our circumstances and in our lives for God's glory. When you get over to the book of Ephesians, he begins to explain to us how he's going to take the body of Christ and use it in the ages to come in the heavenly places for his glory. That's the advanced doctrine. But we're not out there in the sweet by and by yet. We're still here in the nasty now and now. And so we need to understand that the eternal life and the righteousness and the identity that God gives us in Christ doesn't begin when we die. The issue isn't dying and going to heaven to get eternal life. The issue is that we have that life right now. The life of Christ lives in us right now. The security, I mean, it's as though we were already in heaven with the door shut behind us. We are already in there. We already have all of the identity that we'll have out there. We already have it right now. But God has just left us here in time in order to represent and serve Him. We are His ambassadors. Now, you think about that. What is an ambassador? And where does he do his job? An ambassador is the representative of a foreign head of state or government. The ambassador functions in a foreign country. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're down here on the earth. We're ambassadors here representing the government of our King in heaven. We are here as His official representatives. He lives His life in us and through us to demonstrate His grace and His glory in time, committed to us the ministry and the word of reconciliation, to go out and preach the gospel of the grace of God. And the way where God dwells today is in us. You see, God doesn't dwell in buildings. You don't go to some building somewhere to worship God today. I know you have church buildings all over the world that got rooms in them that they call sanctuaries, you know, where people gather together and, quote, have worship services. But that's not the issue. That's what God did in time past with the nation Israel. Had a building somewhere where He dwelt and where they came. That isn't the way God works today. God doesn't dwell in buildings. The church where I pastor, that I pastor in Chicago, we have a building, a quite nice building, comfortable place to meet. Our folks meet together. They come together on Sundays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and the days during the week when we meet for study and for ministry. And when they come together and the people are there, the church is there. Other times, it's just the building where the church meets. The building isn't the issue. The building's just a building. It's just a piece of terra firma and with an edifice on it. It's the place where our church meets. A man asked me one time, he said, where is your church? I said, well, it's scattered all over three counties, really about five counties. And he said, wow, what'd you do, have an explosion? I said, no, the church is our people, and they come from a lot of different areas. We meet there in that building on Neva there in Chicago. You understand what I'm saying, I hope. The building isn't the issue. We're the body of Christ is the issue. God carries on His work through us. Every day of your life, every moment of your life, if you're a child of God, is a worship service. You worship. The word worship means you demonstrate the worth and the value that you see in God. And you're to do that. His life lives in you, and you're to do that daily. Your reasonable service is just to go out and live like who He's made you in Christ. That's your real worship. But you see, when we gather together, it's for ministry. It's for study. It's for edification. It's for ministry of the Word, collective testimony, and so forth. Well, in serving and in our Christian life, it has to be done based on the doctrines found in the Word of God, rightly divided. In Romans 5, Paul's dealing with that. Now, we've already studied the first two verses. There's one last thing I want to get in verse number 2. He says, Romans 5, 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You notice there's a past tense. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand. There's a present tense. And rejoice in hope, there's a future tense, of the glory of God. So there's a past, a present, and a future. And it's very important to understand how this works, because the Christian life, really and literally, salvation is in three phases. First, there's the issue of the fact that Jesus Christ dies at Calvary to pay for our sins. Now, when you come to the place where you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, on December 31st, 1962, I came as a sinner, realizing I was lost and on my way to hell. I knew that if I died, I'd die and go to hell. In fact, I used to pray at night. I didn't know how to pray. I went to church. I was raised in church. There's never a time in my life that I didn't know Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Never a time I ever doubted that He died at Calvary for my sins, for the sins of the world, or that He was resurrected. I never doubted any of that. I knew about all that, but I had never come to the place where I had personally relied and trusted exclusively in what Christ had done for me as my salvation. I knew about it. I had just never trusted Him as my Savior personally. And I knew I was going to go. I knew that if I used to pray, "Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." You know the little prayer, little child's prayer. If I should die before I wake, "Oh Lord, don't let me die, because if I do, I'll die and go to hell." Then one night I heard the gospel. I heard that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I realized that it wasn't what I was going to do or hadn't done. It's what He did, and that the way you trust Him and the way you believe is by not doing something, but just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And I came to Christ and trusted Him as my Savior. And I'll tell you what, I knew I was going to hell, and I knew that I couldn't save myself, and so the first time that ever was clear to me, I took it. I took the gift. I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as my Savior. Now, what that does, that's what we call, what the Bible calls, justification. And I was justified. And I had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace. Folks, you have peace through the blood of His cross. And peace comes. We have peace because the penalty of sin has been paid. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus Christ dies for our sin. And I can have peace with God because all of my sins have been taken care of and none of them escaped, and they've all been paid for. And every time the justice of God would want to say there's a sin, it's got to be paid for, Christ has already paid the debt. He didn't pay some of it so that I could pay the rest, because if I had to pay any of it, I'd die and go to hell. The wage of sin is death, and I, as a sinner, would spend all eternity paying for that sin. But the eternal Son of God paid my eternal sin debt at Calvary, and then God raised Him from the dead to demonstrate that sin had completely been paid for. The penalty was completely paid. Now, that's the beginning. That's peace with God. But that isn't all there is. That's phase one. Okay? That's where you start. You have to have the sin debt, the sin question settled, have all of your sins forgiven in order to have the life of God given to you. So when I trusted Christ, God saved me, past tense. The penalty of sin was paid, and I have peace with God because that penalty is completely and totally paid, and there's nothing against me, and there's no anger between God and me anymore. There's peace. Not only did he do that, though, but then he goes on and says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. In other words, not only did his death pay the penalty of my sin, but then he takes me and gives me his righteousness, places me into the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now I'm in Christ. And in Christ, I'm given a standing in his grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And folks, we have a standing in God's grace because the power and the dominion of sin has been broken. No longer does sin run me, but the life of Jesus Christ lives in me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I died and I'm over with. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I have access today, in time, right now, to the grace, to all that God has accomplished for me. That's why he says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're not to wait till we die to get them. We have them right now. We have access to them. Now, you know what that word access is. That's a great modern computer word. In the studio here, the computer's all over the place. You take a computer. It's got a memory bank. Maybe it's a floppy disk. Maybe it's a hard drive. It's got information on it. If you're going to use the information stored on that hard drive or that floppy disk, you have to do what? You have to be able to access it. You have to be able to punch in the right codes, and those codes will call that information up into the memory system of the computer, and then you can access it, you can work with it, you can use it and put it to work. And when you see the characters generated on the screen, you'll see my name or the names of the other folks or the information screens put up, those things are generated on a character generator run by a computer. And the men have access, and the folks that are producing the thing, they have access to that. They can use it. Why? Because they could access it, bring it up, and use it. You have access. You have the ability to get into the thing and to put it to work in your life in time right now during phase two of salvation, the present. In the past, it's all dealt with. The penalty of sin completely paid for, and it's over. The issue's settled. His righteousness is given to us, and we have it permanently in Christ. Now the power of sin is broken, and his grace is given to us, and we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Our standing is in Christ, and we access it in our lives by faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the basis of it here. He gave his life for me at Calvary, so that when I trusted him, he could give his life to me. So that day by day right now, he could live his life through me for his glory. Now, the verse goes on to say, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the future out here. We look forward one day to sharing the glorification of Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God because one day the very presence of sin, not just the penalty and the power, but the presence of sin will be removed completely and totally. You see, you and I here, when God saved you and justified you, he could have just took you right on to glory, snuffed you out, took you, boom, and took you right there. But he didn't. You say, why not? Well, it's like they say in the movies, he must have had some reason for leaving us here. And he did. You see, it says, by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before, you see back here before the foundation of the world, God Almighty planned to form the church, the body of Christ. And when he planned to form that body of Christ, he planned some good works that members of that body of Christ are to perform. And when He saved you, He put you into Christ, made you His workmanship, and created you in Christ Jesus unto good works which He before ordained that we should walk. There is a ministry here in time for you. You don't just float along through life, my friend, as a child of God without any purpose and meaning in life. Life doesn't have anything for the child of God. Listen, it's not just wake up, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to the ball game, watch TV, go to sleep, get up, go to work, come home, eat supper, watch TV, go to the ball game, go to bed. It isn't over and over. That's not what life is for the believer. The life for the believer has nothing to do with trying to sit around and find creative, you know, using your creative ingenuity to find ways to entertain yourself and pass away your idle time. Listen, you've been created in Christ Jesus. You're in Him and He's in you. And His life in you, there's a purpose, there's a ministry, there are works, there are things to accomplish. There's purpose in life. There's meaning in life. You know, you have a basic spiritual need for purpose and meaning in life. You know that. You know there's got to be some reason to get up tomorrow beyond just the things of this world. That's why when you see people, they tell you, you know, it's people that's always got money that tell you this, but they're telling you the truth. They say, well, you know, when I didn't have any money, I thought getting money and things was it. Once I got money and things, I found out that I'm not any happier than when I didn't have them. In fact, they're less happy because the drive that they had to get them and the purpose of attaining things is gone now because they got them and they found out that they're empty. You know why? There wasn't any purpose and meaning to their life to start with. Not at all. Somebody says, well, I'd love to be a glamour queen. You think of the glamour queens, you know, the big hulks. Claude Van Damme or whatever his name is, you know, the kids talking about today, the big He-Man and Chuck Norris and Arnold Schwarzenegger and whoever, the big guy, macho guys or the good-looking babes out there, you know, and the women and the models and all that stuff. And you look at them and you say, oh, they'd be like, listen, I tell you, think about them. Did you ever get sick? Did you ever just get the flu and have to just upchuck all over everything? Did you ever see yourself when you look like that? You say, oh, I don't want anybody to see. Hey, they get sick too. You ever think about that? When you get to admiring all these people, just think about them when they've got the cramps real bad. They get sick. Yeah, you get a little different view of them, don't you? You know what they are? They just flash. And what you're seeing and what you're glorying in and that image of the perfect this or that, that's all made up. Those are glamour pictures. They're all painted and brushed. You know what? You know if you got an old barn, you got to paint it. And they paint them up. You know why? Because they aren't real. It isn't real. It's designed to entice you because they want to get you money. That's it. That's it. Doesn't make sense. There's a buck in it somewhere. You know what he said? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's something real out there for us. Something real out there. Now, the glory of God in the Bible is the manifest presence of God. It's the manifestation of God's presence. You know what we're going to have out there? We rejoice in hope of seeing the glory of Almighty God manifest and being in its presence. Look back at Romans chapter 3. That's quite a difference from the way we used to be. Romans chapter 3. Quite a change in our status. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know how it was with us? You know how it was with you and me? We came short of the glory of God. Before we came to Christ, I know how it was with me. I thought about standing in the presence of God and I quaked in my boots. I wasn't happy about it. I came short of that glory. That glory would overwhelm me. Luke chapter number 2, there's a great illustration of it at the nativity of Christ. It says in verse 8 of Luke 2, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they did what? They didn't rejoice. You know what happened when the glory of God shone around them like a spotlight and encompassed them and they saw God's glory? They were sore afraid. I mean, they were afraid to the point that it was made them sick. They were sore afraid. You know what that is? That's the natural reaction of sinful men to the manifestation of the presence and the glory of God. You know what Paul said about you and me? We rejoice. We sit here with eager anticipation to see the Lord in all of His glory. Now that's quite a change in status for us. You say, well, how did that change come about? Well, let me just read you two verses out of Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer says in Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see Him crowned with glory and honor. He died, but now He's been raised back to life and He's crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for you. He put away your sin by the sacrifice of Himself. For it became Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know what Jesus Christ did? He tasted death and the penalty of sin for us, that He might bring us to glory. You know how come we can rejoice in that glory of God, have the presence of sin done away with, and have the manifestation of God's glory, something that causes our heart to rejoice? Because Christ has equipped us to be there. Come with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3, passage on the glory of God and our rejoicing, our hope of glory. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 4. The Apostle Paul says, and maybe I should start reading in verse number 1. Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, you die if you're dead with Him and you're raised with Him. Now when he says if, he's talking about if you're a child of God, if you're saved, if you've really trusted Christ, here's what's true of you. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, if you're a child of God, you ought to think like a child of God. You ought to set your affections on the things that are real. And when he talks about setting your affections, you understand that. You've got the television set to this channel. You've got a flipper or a dial changer there, and you can change the channel. You set it to a different channel. I don't do that right now. Wait another 5-10 minutes until we're through. But you know what? You can change. Set your affections. Tune the channel to the truth of what God's done for you in Christ. That's what studying the Word of God is all about. Take your mind and fix it on the truth about what God's accomplished for you. Get that truth in your mind and fixate and fix your mind on that. For we are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know who our life is? Christ. That's it. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. You say, how will I be able to stand it? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 20. Listen to me carefully now. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation's up there in heaven. That's where we've set our affections. All the things in our mind down here are in heaven. We've set our affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Our conversation's in heaven. The things that control and fill our mind and our thinking are there. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. In other words, He's going to take this old body that I have of clay, this old clay pot that I live in, this old vile body, and you know it is. I mean, just don't wash it for 2 or 3 days and see what happens to it. It's a vile body. Go out and eat some beans and onions and see what happens to it. It's a vile body. It's a corruptible body. He's going to change it, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue even subdue all things unto Himself. What's He talking about? He's talking about you and I are going to share in the glorification of Jesus Christ out there. You want to see glorified humanity? You look at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Peter, James, and John, and was and the glory of God shone out of him like a light. Not like these studio lights hit my face and then shine back to you. That's reflection. That's shining like the moon. Matthew 17, it says he shone as the sun. The light, the glory was in him, shining out of him. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have God's glory in us shine out through us through all eternity. Paul said, we rejoice in hope, in the eager anticipation of the glory of God, of having a body, a glory. Pastor Otis Watson used to say there won't be any more baldness and bifocals and bridge work and bulges and bunions. A new body. But more than just a new body, His glory manifests in us and through us perfectly. You know what that is? That's the hope of the believer. We're as sure of that happening as if we were already there with the door shut behind us because of God's grace. It's all based on what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary when He took all of our shame and all of our sin and provided life through His name. And that life lasts forever. We have peace with God because the penalty of sin is paid. We have a standing in grace that operates in our life now because the power of sin is broken and we don't have to be under its dominion any longer. We live under grace, not the law. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God when one day even the thought of failing our Lord and disappointing Him will be done away because all of sin's presence will be gone. You need to have that be the rejoicing of your heart. And the only way to have that is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You've got to get in this book, folks, and learn what God says in His Word, rightly divided. That's why we have this program. That's why we offer you a free Bible study tape each week. I hope you write and get them. Call the number on the screen and get the tape. It's for you. Dan will come to give you the address now. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Rejoicing in Hope. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 233. That's tape offer number 233. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.